wait for a hook to jump in there, but there was nothing.
Just let it go. It was jaunty.
It is a jaunty ragtime for you, everybody. April 19th, 2011, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Lots of stuff to talk about today. SmackDown, Raw, and some more primetime wrestling.
Woo.
There's a lot of horrendous stuff on primetime wrestling.
There really, really was.
I know it's shocking that the best thing on the show is Heenan and Gorilla.
Uh-huh.
There's a news flash for everybody that wasn't born in the 1980s. So anyway, we're going to talk about that. I don't know, Vinny, if you have any thoughts on the TNA pay-per-view.
Just that it's one of those you just sit back and wonder, why? Why are you men doing these dumb things? And you want to have a great match that, 10,000 people will see? Is that worth risking your life for, literally? The worst example, obviously, is Angle, who's...
Actually, Jarrett got hurt much worse than Angle.
Jarrett got hurt much worse. Angle took much greater risks. The moonsault off the cage, the powerbomb where he almost died. The worst thing that could have happened to Jarrett did. Angle could have come out of that a lot worse than he did. But then also...
I don't want to say it was Jarrett's fault.
But it came after he got hurt?
Yes.
The powerbomb, yes, not the moonsault.
No, the moonsault was just Kurt being an idiot.
Yes. So, and it's just... is it really worth that kind of trauma to have a 4-star match that, like I say, 10,000 people see? So I don't know. And it's not just those two. I don't know if you saw the picture of Bully Ray, but his face was thrashed.
Mm-hmm.
He got a lot of guys in that match took a severe beating. And I'm just left wondering why. What?
Don't have a good answer for
surely
you.
Surely they know their show is terrible.
Apparently they don't.
Surely they know nobody's watching.
Apparently they don't.
I don't know. I just...
I think that deep down, Angle has to know that nobody's watching the pay-per-view. Yet, he can't help himself.
I guess.
He just can't help himself.
Maybe he didn't mean it this way. Well, I thought about this for a while. Angle sent out a tweet afterwards, which, you know, wrestlers and Twitter, it's always a dangerous combination. But he said something along the lines of, had a great match tonight, Jarrett broke his ribs. And my first thought was, if you broke the guy's ribs, it's not a good match. And then I thought for a while about these two men and what happened to lead to this match. I thought maybe he did. Maybe that's what he wanted going in.
He had another tweet today that was similar to that. He was cackling about Jared getting hurt. But
yeah.
He's just playing along, everybody.
So, yeah, I mean, the first half of the show was not terrible, but largely forgettable. The X-Division X-Division cage match was mind-boggling in that they went almost in reverse order from good worker to bad worker. The best guys were out first. Chris Sabin in that match was a king of men. And Jay Lethal and Amazing Red also look good. And they were all the first three or four guys out.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the Bucks and Robbie E, but they are not as good as Jay Lethal and Amazing Red and Suicide and Kendrick. I guess he was there to the end. But yeah, it just a mess. And then it just a bunch of 2.25, 2.5-star matches. And then however you want to rate the last two. I said during the Angle match, I think I hate Kurt Angle just because I don't like what he's doing to himself in front of me. And the main event was not quite as traumatic, so I had more fun watching that. But
except for the multiple unprotected cane shots to the head.
And all sorts of weapon shots to the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you see, if it's not a chair, everybody, apparently it's all right.
I guess.
An actual chair has to hit you in the head for your brain to rattle in your skull. If you hit a man with, say, a truck, it's fine. You know?
I don't get it. I don't understand what the... what's the payoff for this?
There are TNA stories that would boggle your mind.
All of them do.
I know, but there are stories that, like, are even more mind-boggling.
Hmm.
About how clueless these people really are.
When you say these people, do you mean the workers, the management?
Somebody actually emailed a question the other day about if Vince had completely lost it and if we were all being skewed because TNA was so ungodly horrible.
I have thought that sometimes.
Like, you know, Vince, sometimes I watch the show and it's like, Vince McMahon is incompetent. But then when you compare it to TNA, he's brilliant. That is how stupid these people are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really all I have to say about the TNA pay-per-view.
My cats are so much more entertaining than TNA. Well, one of them. They've been on fire lately, haven't they?
Tonight, they were clearly on some powerful methamphetamines.
Well, it was mostly Snorky. Yeah. Gracie has not been feeling well. She projectile vomited the other day.
Oh, really?
Cats do that here and there. Hmm. I don't even know what her problem was. But she... basically, we have this canned food that we give them, and I buy them these big cases, you know, so they have the same food all the time. So we were running out, and I went to the pet store, and they didn't have any of their food in, so I had to get a different flavor. So Snorky would eat anything, you know. If I died, she'd eat me. She'd mourn for a while and meow in a plaintive manner, but then she'd eat me. So, of course, she just gobbles down this food. And you can tell Gracie's a little more finicky, and she's not down with it. And, of course, she vomited up all her food. And then, like, for the last couple of days, she's refused to eat because her food isn't here. Mm. So, you know, eventually she'll get really, really hungry, and she'll eat a little bit. But she's clearly, like, you know, pitching a fit here that her food is not the same. Snorky, on the other hand, just eats like a hog. And I've never seen a more charismatic cat. I've never seen... My cat is a true charismatic enigma.
And?
Way more so than Jeff Hardy.
And she does not stumble down the ramp.
Jeff Hardy in no ways is an enigma. You know?
He's just... yeah.
I think everybody pretty much knows...
What Jeff is.
Yeah. But this cat's an enigma. She just is so weird. She, you know, you crumple up a piece of paper and she'll play soccer with it for hours, just entertaining herself.
You actually tonight had her playing fetch.
Yeah, she plays fetch.
I have never seen a cat do this before.
I think this
you
cat...
would throw the ball.
Yep.
The paper ball. She would run over and bat it around or chase it around. And then she would bring it back to you with the ball in her mouth.
Sprinting.
And you hold your hand out and she put it in your hand.
Yeah.
She could throw it. I've never seen a cat do that before. Dog, sure.
I don't know.
Cats, no.
Apparently, Whitney taught the cat this because she'll sit. She's got like a recliner in her office and she watches TV. And every now and then I'll just hear the cat sprinting as it does. And it'll sprint into the office, leap up onto the recliner into her lap, and drop the paper there. At which point she'll throw it, the cat will go after it and play for about 10 minutes, and then sprint back and put it in her lap, and they just keep playing this game.
Hmm.
I've never seen anything like this before. This cat, just, it's nuts. It's always, you know, they say, and this cat's no longer a kitten. This cat's about 9 months old now. I think you can call it a cat at this point. I don't know what the cutoff line is, but certainly doesn't look like a kitten anymore. It looks like a cat. And it's like solid muscle, this cat. There's like no fat on this cat's body. You just pick it up and it's like a giant muscle that you're picking up. And it runs and it plays and it climbs. And you read online that cats are supposed to sleep like 18 hours a day. Bullshit! This cat will go to bed when I go to bed. It'll wake up about an hour earlier, meow like crazy, and then play all fucking day long. Every now and then it'll take a nap, but it is in fact a cat nap. It will sleep for a little while, and then it will be up playing and running and jumping like a complete fool again. And its new game is it will take its little ball of paper that it plays soccer with, and you can throw it onto the couch or onto a chair, and this cat will go crazy. It will go into the cushions. It will jump in the air. It will do flips. It will do backward and forward rolls. It'll just have the time of its life on the couches. And apparently go into your computer bag and, I don't know, dig towards the middle of the earth.
Just want to see what was in there. Yes.
Yeah.
There was no food in there, because the cats, as we'll discuss later, I can't even say they smell food. They feel when there's food around,
mm-hmm.
and they will go for whatever it is. But there was no food in my computer bag, but she jumped in there, it was cutest when the bag was upright, and then she, of course, would poke her head out the top. That was great. And then it fell over, and she was still just inside, being inside the thing, peeking out at me.
I gotta put up a video on Facebook at some point. I filmed a video of Snorky playing soccer with the paper on a chair where it's her and an invisible enemy playing tag with this paper or something like that. She will just jump straight up in the air and do like a full turn and dig and jump and leap, and it's incredible.
I like the one today or tonight where she ran at the paper ball and she did not slow down. She was like a dead sprint up to the point of where the ball was, and then she realized, oh no, I'm going to overrun the paper ball. And so she apparently made a conscious decision to stop her momentum with her face.
Well, here's the problem.
Her face into the earth to break her
speed. The problem with this is we usually throw the paper onto the hardwood.
Ah.
So these cats sprint, and then when they stop, they just keep sliding for about 5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then they turn around and run back. Well, this time it was on the carpet. So she stopped, probably thinking she was going to slide past the paper, but there was a strong lack of friction as compared to the or whatever you would call it.
Friction.
Presence of friction. And I'm not a scientist here. As compared to the hardwood. So she came to a complete abrupt stop face first. And then her body flew over her head. Thank God cats, I don't think, can break their necks because she'd be dead by now. But yeah, she entertained us tonight. Far more than prime time wrestling. Let's just talk about this now because this was no good.
All right. It was not the face-to-face show. It was just Gorilla and Bobby in the studio, and they would do some banter, which is far and away the highlight of the show. It was two friends playing characters fucking around constantly. Mm-hmm. And first, their opening segment, they talked about WrestleMania coming up, and they were talking about whose corner Elizabeth would be in, and then they started talking about whose corner Bobby would be in if his men were fighting, and this just led to them insulting each other, and then they went to the first match.
Bobby and Gorilla are a PG version of this show, basically.
I take that as a high compliment.
Well, I'm far more talented than you.
Well, you would obviously be the brain.
Sure. Although Gorilla held his own as a sidekick, if you want to call him that.
It's a unique way of looking at things.
He was not the best announcer there ever was.
He was a god-awful announcer, as we will get into in the show, but he was a great a tag team partner for Heenan.
Sure.
That's really what they were.
All right.
First match. By the way, I did email you these notes, if you need them. Dino Bravo versus Brutus Beefcake.
Mm-hmm.
This match happened.
Unfortunately.
God, it sucked. Brutus had an epic mullet and pink and black striped tights that were sheer down the sides. They did some very, very bad wrestling. It was pretty much all kicking and punching and not particularly good kicking and punching. And then, pay attention here, folks. They did a double countout.
Mm-hmm.
Brutus then gave Frenchie Martin a haircut, because that was his gimmick. Then afterwards...
Well, he cut off one lock of hair.
That's what he did in every match. Because you see, well, yeah, presumably they do a house show circuit, and he would cut off a different lock of hair on the same guy every night. So, anyway, yes, he cut off a lock of hair. Dino went after him afterwards, and Brutus waved the scissors menacingly, and Dino said, uh-oh.
As if to say, I'm going to stab you!
Dino said, uh-oh, I'm going to be stabbed, and he left.
Mm-hmm.
So, they did a double count out. The heel attacked him afterwards, and the face fought him off with a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind.
We had a commercial for WrestleMania 5. They were trying to get tickets out, and so they gave a phone number that you could call to get tickets. And for those of you that don't believe the story, I'm going to give you this phone number, and if, in fact, you are so inclined, you can confirm. 1-800-233-4050. Now, I realize I gave that number out here on the air, but WWE is giving this number out on 24/7. It is not a secret I'm revealing right here. In fact, shall we call it here on this show?
Yeah, that may be funnier, actually, than just repeating what we said.
All right, hold on. Here we go.
Thank you for calling CHAD, Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, and CHAD's National Resource Center on ADHD. Para información en español, por favor, marque el número 5 ahora. Our office is now closed. Our regular office
Should
hours
I leave
are
a message?
Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Just say hi and hang up.
If you know your party's extension, you may dial it at any time.
Well, there you go.
For our staff directory, press pound. Please listen carefully to the following options.
Ironic thing is, if you actually have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, you won't have the patience to get through that message.
Oh, Vinny, terrible.
I'm not just saying.
But yeah, that that number is up on the screen on WWE 24/7, and the old number to buy WrestleMania 5 tickets now takes you to Chad, children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which I think my cat has.
Actually, yes. And I think I do have it too now after this match, because or after the show, because the next match was Ronnie Garvin versus Ron Bass.
Ron Bass for two fucking weeks in a row.
This fucking match. This was a god-awful show.
Yeah.
Lord Al Hayes was on commentary. Ronnie Garvin threw a punch, and Lord Al Hayes described this as a tremendous glancing blow.
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
He moved the air.
Tremendously. So, Ronnie Garvin's there. He's got the Brian Bosworth haircut. He's wrestling with without knee pads like Cody Rhodes, only he can pull it off. I'll just say that.
They were trying to figure out what this haircut was. Al Hayes had never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
He said it looked like a gladiator helmet.
He did say that.
It mostly just looked like shit.
Yeah. So, yes, they
this
had
a... man used to be the NWA champion of the world. This man beat Ric Flair.
Clean.
And people actually still email in the question, why did people turn on Ronnie Garvin? Watch this!
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, what?
He's better than Ron Bass.
Oh!
So,
well,
okay.
Goddamn, what a defense
now,
that is.
This match sucked a royal cock, don't get me wrong. I like the part where Garvin did a body press and actually landed on his feet before he hit Bass. So, the finish of this match was, and I'm not making this up, another double count out.
Mm-hmm.
It was a double count out that Lord Alfred Hayes identified as a time limit draw, and then the heel went after the babyface, and the babyface got a weapon and fought him off. They did the exact same finish in the first two matches on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So after this, they throw it back to the studio where someone has told Gorilla, this match you're going to comment on ended in a draw, because clearly he didn't watch it, because what he said was, and this is a quote, I'd like to see 20 more minutes of that.
20 more minutes!
Fuck you. No.
Yeah.
We then had unquestionably the highlight
of the show.
I have
more to say about that
match. All right, have at it.
That match was horrible.
Mm.
I couldn't even believe it.
It was god-awful.
Ronnie Garvin
long.
Did a Garvin stomp, which Ron Bass sold by just laying there.
Yes.
I mean, he didn't even shake and shimmy as he was being stomped on.
Well, there's an Andre match on here where Andre gave his opponents offense, but to say he sold would be a complete lie. He just stopped throwing punches. And that's what Bass did on the ground. He just stopped moving.
We had a top rope high cross by Ronnie Garvin, who apparently has never done one in his life and thought that they were wrestling on concrete because he landed on his feet to break his own fall when he did this move. This was horrendous.
This was a bad, bad
I couldn't even believe how bad this particular match was. His name should have been Outlaw Jack Bass. I think that would have been much better.
Because it sounds like Jackass?
Yeah.
I see.
Juvenile.
Better than the show. Except this part. They had the skit where Ted DiBiase got his hands in the $1 million belt for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one, they showed clips of this for DiBiase's Hall of Fame induction, but it's the one, and this is when I started watching wrestling. I never missed this show, so how I have no memories of the skit, I have no idea, because it's the best thing I ever saw. There's a jeweler's shop, and Ted DiBiase, who is a very big man on the street, and this big man walks in the store with a cape, I say, he throws his cape open and declares, I'm here! I'm here!
He was dressed like Dracula.
He was dressed like Dracula.
Jacula?
I almost said Jacula, which let's not get into.
I don't.
Dude, are you going to say something?
Go.
So, he stepped up to the jeweler. The jeweler revealed the belt.
Ed Jacula?
Oh, God. Let's start the show over.
Shall we continue?
Fine, I'll try.
Because that would be E-Jacula.
I think I think Ed Jacula is funnier.
It would be funnier if you could get away with that.
Hi, I'm Jacula. Ed Jacula.
Yeah, Ed Jacula and Jack Bass. A good tag team.
If you say so. Okay, well, I describe this skit, you think of a name for that tag team.
All right.
So, yes, the jeweler pulled out the belt from a case, and he pulled the sheet or whatever it is off the belt, but we did not see the belt at home. We only saw Ted's reaction. His eyes opened wide. He held his hands over the belt, basking in its aura. he started cutting this promo about how this is a belt worthy of him. Now everyone would finally see how great he was. They were playing ominous, scary music, and then he began to cackle and laugh, and he looked to the heavens and the gods, and he laughed maniacally, and they cut to a side shot, and the jeweler was just standing there staring at him blankly as Ted DiBiase cackled. This was the best thing ever. Ever, ever, ever. So that got a giant thumbs up.
How about just Count Jackula?
I like Ed.
Ed?
Ed Jackula.
Well, so we'd find out his name was later.
Count Ed Jackula?
Yeah, they'd call him Count Jackula for a while, and everybody would just kind of snicker. And then later it would be revealed that his first name was Ed.
Mm-hmm. How about Jackula?
No. Yeah.
We had the Brainbusters versus Ricky Itaki and, yes, Louis Spicoli. Nothing to it. It was just a squash match. They pinned Spicoli with a spike pile driver, but there you go. Louis Spicoli on Primetime Wrestling in 1989, I think.
Yeah. His
February 89.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
I have nothing more to add to that.
It was
match.
A squash match. Hillbilly Jim versus Barry Horowitz. Sucked.
You don't say.
It sucked, but at least it was funny. Hillbilly's setup for his finish was Barry charged from the corner. Hillbilly got his legs up and hit basically an axe kick to the head. And then as they're both standing there and Barry is dazed, Hillbilly raises his arm high overhead and drops a hammer fist down to the top of Barry's skull.
Yeah.
He just pounded him into the earth like a tent peg.
Yep.
Fantastic. And then he hit a big boot and won. And apparently, and this, I don't know how this is possible, but apparently they don't have the rights to Hillbilly Jim singing Don't Go Messing With the Country Boy, because they dubbed in some generic banjo music and Hillbilly Jim danced a jig. This was awful, but I enjoyed it way too much, probably because the bar for the show at this point was very, very low.
Hillbilly Jim was a big fella.
He was an enormous human being.
Yeah, and he looked just like the Apostle Paul, and he did a car wheel!
Was it better than Apostle Paul's?
Well, yeah, because he didn't kill anybody.
No one got hurt in this cartwheel. We had a great Randy Savage promo about Hulk Hogan. He recapped everything Hogan had done to sabotage his relationship with Elizabeth with visual evidence.
Mm-hmm.
He held the ropes open for Elizabeth, which made Randy Savage look bad because he
I
always...
wish they'd actually had the vignette of Randy Savage in the production truck with Sean Mooney as Sean's doing the WWE update or whatever it's called, the WWF event center, and Savage could be in the background explaining to the guys putting the videos together what footage he wanted when he was reading off his promo.
Sure.
Wouldn't that have been awesome?
That would have worked fine. But yes, they had footage of Hogan holding the ropes open for Elizabeth. He came up behind her as she was unexpecting, Savage said, and he lifted her up and put her on his shoulders.
Did you really say unexpecting?
I'm pretty sure he did.
Hmm.
He was being Randy Savage.
Well, she was not pregnant.
But, yes, and this again, you know, this is also to make Macho look bad. Then he hugged Elizabeth in victory after their match. This proved he had lust in his eyes. He said Hogan had been trying to steal the spotlight and his manager all year, but come WrestleMania, he wasn't going to steal the spotlight, he wasn't going to steal his manager, and he wasn't going to steal his title. This was awesome.
Again, this is a good example of a heel who is not just an asshole. He felt he was wronged.
Yes.
And in fact, he had a pretty damn good argument for it, because he made a good point that in that tag match, Hogan was handcuffed to the ropes. He single-handedly won the fucking match.
Yes.
And Hogan celebrates by putting his woman on his shoulders?
That did happen.
I'd kick that guy's ass, too.
It did happen. It is amazing when you go back. All the heels who attacked Hogan, and all, especially all the partners who turned on him, they all had valid points.
Of course.
Hogan was kind of a dick. Andre the Giant in a handicap match versus Tito Santana and Jim Powers. It was not a squash, everybody.
It was very sad, though.
Well, yeah, Andre was
literally near death.
He was literally near death and completely immobile.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when he was, like I say, I can't say that he sold, because he just stood there because that's all he could do as they threw punches at him, and then he would cut them off and do what he could. The story of the match was that in the middle of it, they played Jake Roberts' music, and then an unseen Jake cut a promo warning Andre that he and Damian were always watching. So Andre freaked out for a bit, and they kept going with the match. I can't say jobbers, but the babyfaces got a near fall off a sunset flip, and watching Andre go down for this was no fun. And finally, he whipped them into each other and pinned Powers with an elbow smash, and that was that.
An elbow smash, you say?
Well, that's what he did.
He reclined.
He
went from a standing position to a reclined position
in
a leisurely manner.
He sat down next to Jim Powers and put his arm over him.
Yeah.
That's what it really was. He was in bad shape. He had Demolition on the Brother Love show. I enjoyed hearing Brother Love call them Brother Axe and Brother Smash.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes wrestling is great. So they cut a promo. I'm pretty sure it was the exact same promo they cut on the Powers of Pain last week. Except their big finish was Axe saying they had just bought two houses on Elm Street. And when Freddy Krueger went home, he had to go through them.
Fighting words right there.
That was a great line. And the thing we stopped with was Mr. Perfect versus the Red Rooster.
Why? Because I thought, oh, well, this should be pretty good.
It was the best match we had seen.
That's saying almost
it was
nothing.
No good. It was all right. It wasn't even all right. It was pretty bad. They did, 2 minutes of action, which was fine. Then Brooklyn Brawler cut an inset promo. He was very jealous that WWF Magazine had done a feature on the Red Rooster. So jealous that all he could do was rip the magazine to shreds and say, Rooster, 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 repeatedly.
So, to recap, the Red Rooster versus the Brooklyn Brawler. That's their feud.
Yeah. You made a point earlier in the show, but it actually fit even more here. Why do they even bother making a cartoon?
Yeah, I was thinking about this during the Hillbilly Gym match.
But this promo even more. No one over the age of 6 could have taken the Brooklyn Brawler seriously. No one could have believed that was a real human being.
They decided that they needed to make an animated WWF cartoon. Yet, their show was a living, breathing cartoon.
Yeah.
They should have tried to create a drama.
An animated drama?
Sure.
Yes.
They should have made a reality show. Not a cartoon. That's what they presented every single week. Hillbilly Jim. Think about this. His name is Hillbilly Jim. He ain't got no last name. His first name is Hillbilly. Or maybe his first name is Jim and he is a hillbilly. Hence the name Hillbilly Jim. He wears overalls and a wacky hat. He wears overalls and he dances a jig.
Yeah.
A man's gimmick was he was a chicken. A chicken.
Yes.
Vince McMahon thought, you know what would be a good gimmick for you, Terry Taylor? A chicken. And I want you to go to the ring and I want you to scratch the, you know, peck at the mat.
Somebody on the show actually referred to him as the Chicken Man.
The Chicken Man!
Like the Wolf Man, only a chicken.
Let's go through this show and look what we got here. We got whatever the Brutus Beefcake was supposed to be.
That's actually a great question.
I
was exposing youngsters to a homosexual role model.
I think he was supposed to be a male stripper that also cut hair on the side. We had Dino Bravo, who I think was supposed to be an ape. Ronnie Garvin was a man. He's the only normal one on the show, apparently. We had Ron Bass.
An outlaw.
An outlaw.
He robbed stagecoaches.
You know, he's an outlaw, yet he collects his paycheck and wrestles on the road for World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah.
We had Count Ejacula getting his wacky belt that he made on his own.
Yeah.
We had the Brain Busters, who amazingly were also normal guys, so I guess I was wrong about Garvin being the only one. Hillbilly Jim,
uh-huh.
A giant
hillbilly.
I'm talking about Andre the Giant.
Oh, yeah, him too.
He was a giant. That was his gimmick.
He was a giant.
A Mexican. Axe and Smash.
Yeah.
Who are, what are they even?
We'll just say monsters for now.
Monsters. We had a man who was supposed to be perfect and a chicken. And a brawler from Brooklyn.
And a televangelist.
And a televangelist!
And this cast of characters travel the nation having battles.
Yeah!
This is a cartoon.
And whatever Macho Man was supposed to be. But what he was a cartoon version of a man. So yeah.
Yeah.
This match sucked. DQ.
Brawler came out.
And get this DQ.
Yeah. The Brawler came out and he brawled with the Red Rooster on the floor, right in front of the referee. So the referee counted them out.
Mm-hmm.
It was the third count out we had seen in 45 minutes of show.
Yeah.
Awful.
Let's play a song right here so I can get my mojo back. It's from Cyrus. What have you done to her winter? A flashback to the old days of songs.
That was great.
That was right there.
It made its joke, and then it stopped.
Yeah. That was a good one. All right. Ha-ha! Raw! I'll start with a shitty one, and then end with a good one.
Hated this show.
Really? I know a lot of people hated this show.
Oh my god, I hated this show.
This show was fine.
It was fine if you enjoy anal rape.
Vinny?
This show was awful. Started off with...
Please explain.
It started off with my most unfavorite wrestling couple of all time back together again. Truth and fucking John Morrison. God damn it, do I hate these men together. Just... shitty, shitty, shitty television.
Well, then you should have loved this segment.
They talk... Well, we'll get to that. Well, no, the problem is... Well, first, they were friends. They were telling jokes. They were making fun of each other. They were having a grand old time. And they were the most awkward, unbelievable, impossible couple of all time. No one could think these two men would ever hang out together unless their bosses told them, go in the ring and act chummy. They have, I can't even say zero chemistry, they have complete, disastrous, catastrophic negative chemistry. They are a nuclear weapon. They are weapons of mass destruction. Mm. So they're out there for a long-ass time talking about water and smoking and title shots, and it sucks. So many dicks. Oh, God, it was awful. Just complete fucktards, the two of you. So, finally, it led to a match. They wrestled for a bit. Truth's pay-per-view title shot was on the line. And Morrison won. So, this meant Morrison is now a guest in the pay-per-view main event. I don't really care. I hate them both. So, I'm sorry. All that notes was still on the promo they cut. So, yeah, Morrison won. This made Truth angry. He hit Morrison in the head repeatedly. Then he acted sorry. Then he killed him for a long-ass fucking time. And it just kept going and going. He got water. He got cigarettes. He blew smoke on him. By the time the next match started, the show was 25 minutes old.
Yeah, it was a long angle.
I don't ever want to see these two human beings again. I don't want to pay to see them again. I don't want them for free again. I want them both fired.
Vinny.
I want them both exported.
Truths exported? Like a file?
What's the word? Exiled? Exiled. Be gone! Fuckers.
Truths heel turn was really that bad, Vinny?
After the opening 10 minutes, there was nothing Truth could have done to entertain me. I hated him too much.
You never have to see them team again. He beat up John Morrison.
But now they're going to feud.
Oh, maybe. Perhaps not. Perhaps Truth will get drafted to SmackDown and be the top heel.
Hopefully Truth will get drafted to CZW and Morrison will go back to OVW.
I have no idea why you hate Truth.
I didn't until this segment with Morrison. Now I can never forgive him. This segment, that was it. This segment was unforgivable. There is nothing either of these men can do to ever redeem themselves in my eyes.
This is an irrational reaction.
Fine.
Listen, the first part of this was absolutely... TNA level, god-awful.
No! TNA has never done anything this bad.
Oh, Vinny.
This.
Vinny.
Wretched.
I'm going to remember you said that on Thursday when the girls do another segment.
Great. Oh, dude, I would so much rather watch Velvet call people bitches than watch Truth and Morrison do whatever the fuck it was they were doing.
I think you're lying.
No.
Yeah.
I'll go watch Impact right now. Well, no, that would do no good.
See?
Well, I'm not going to watch Truth and Morrison right now either.
I'm going to find... There's going to be... Believe me. There will not be 1 month... Before we get to a segment on Impact that you admit is worse than the Morrison Truth thing.
Oh, you're wrong.
All right, we'll see.
There for sure was nothing worse on Impact this last week.
I don't even remember the show this last week. That's the only reason you're saying that. The Truth heel turn I thought they did a hell of a job. I like Truth. I'm a huge fan of Truth. Not Truth's fault he had to do this shit with Morrison. You know? The boss did tell him to go out there and be chummy. Not his fault.
Fair enough. Sucked.
Thought he had a hell of a turn here. They did the best job they could making a nobody into a somebody.
A somebody... What?
Vinny.
Did you really want to pay to see Truth after this?
No, but I can take Truth seriously as a heel. Whereas I couldn't take him seriously as a babyface before this happened. Especially in that opening segment.
I don't know.
I thought they did a good job with the heel turn.
Evan Bourne wrestled Dolph Ziggler. Dolph got a haircut. I was trying to figure out who he looked like, and I realized he looks like Nick Nemeth.
He looks like everyone.
Well, yeah, too. Evan missed a shooting star press, so Dolph won with the Nemeth zag. Yeah. We had clips of Sin Cara. We had an Edge video, which I believe was the same one they aired on SmackDown, but that's fine. They're all great. And then they announced that on SmackDown, Alberto is going to be throwing a retirement party for Edge.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be awesome. I can't wait for that. Miz came out. He was pissed that he had to face Morrison instead of Truth. Also pissed that it was a cage match. And he could lose the title without being defeated. He refused to leave until the GM addressed him. I don't think the GM ever did, actually. After the commercial, Miz and Riley were still bebopping around. Sin Cara came out and was willing to fight them by himself. But out came John Cena. Was not
How do you know he was willing to fight them by himself?
What else was he doing out there?
He was there to face Alex Riley in a fucking one-on-one match.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, that was the match that was booked. Regardless, it turned into Cena and Sin Cara versus Riley and Miz.
I thought perhaps telepathy was involved.
Which, what, me?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I just said something stupid.
Huh.
It's a much simpler explanation. This was great booking. This was the best part of the show. Cena, they wanted to get Sin Cara over, so they took their top babyface and made him say, "This Sin Cara fella is a man I will stand beside and fight with." Great. Easy. They had a tag match. Obviously, Cena was in the ring for 80% of it. He made one hot tag. Sin Cara went through his comeback. Then had to sell for a while, including selling for Alex Riley, which is a crime, but what are you going to do? And then when it was time, he tagged in Cena, who made his own comeback, and he hit the FU on Riley, tagged in Sin Cara for one more moonsault, and he got the pin. They did everything they could right here.
Well, and, almost.
Well, except for having Alex Riley involved.
Having Alex Riley and Miz involved. Really, you know, every time I bring up Miz, it's something negative. And I really have nothing against the guy. But I really don't think Miz is the guy to be playing Averno, as Rob Bahari would say, Mystico.
You don't say.
Wrong guy.
The flaw there, though, Brian, is that they don't have a guy. They have Chavo and Primo.
I'm sure you can find a guy who is a better worker that could figure this out in an afternoon with Mystico. Mm. And Evan Bourne, for example.
Yeah, that probably would have been a better wrestling match.
I'm sure I can find somebody on this roster that would be a better base for Mystico than Miz and Alex Riley. With that said, it was all right. They didn't screw anything up too bad. Except Mystico is very tentative.
Yes. He's doing a style he's never worked with, the language he doesn't speak, and guys he doesn't know.
No, but he's doing a style he has done with guys who haven't done his style.
I see.
So he has to be super careful to not fuck anything up. I mean, he tried the run up the ropes into the double head scissor deal on the two guys and missed them by a mile.
Because they were too far apart, yeah.
Yeah, because they don't know what they're doing. This is not his problem here. Right. This is their problem.
He actually had to let go of Miz's hand to get his feet on
It's actually everybody's problem.
It's the company's problem.
Yes.
They had another Awesome Kong video. Basically the exact same thing, except a different doll. These are great. Eve versus Nikki. This was not great. An atrocious match. Just embarrassing. My favorite part was where the illegal Bella, which I guess would be, Nikki, so it would be Brie, but she tried to throw Eve's leg into the apron, and she grabs Eve's foot and lifts it up, and then she lets go and then throws her hands down, so Eve's leg is just standing straight up in the air for a second, and then Eve has to throw her own leg into the apron. Yeah.
Eve is this week's, how do I say this? She is the best worker to have the worst matches I've seen in a long time. That makes any sense.
Kind of.
I don't think she's horrible.
I don't think this
is her
fault.
But she has one horrible match after another.
Yeah.
It's a string of just... I don't know what it's a string of.
Shit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying she's Trish Stratus or anything like that.
But she's better than Eve, Nick, or
she's
better than Brie and Nikki Bella.
She's significantly better than you would think from having watched her matches of late.
Correct. So as soon as the match was over, sadly, they let this match finish. Cole interrupted them. He said it was time for his knighting ceremony. This sucked. I don't want to talk about this. It was so shitty.
This was really bad.
Cole got in the ring, brought out Swagger. They're friends again after SmackDown, which we'll talk about here in a bit. They brought out the Queen of England. She made him a knight. He was happy. The Queen left. So Swagger and Cole turned to Lawler and Ross at the commentary table and basically said, come on in here and fight us. So they did. And they got their asses beat.
In the most nonchalant manner possible. They looked at each other. They calmly stood up. They calmly started walking to the ring and then just got beat up.
A miserable segment.
I have no idea what happened here. Last week's segment was so ridiculously good, and then this segment was ridiculously bad. I don't know what happened. I don't know. This was no good.
It was no good. They made Ross kiss Cole's foot, which had some wacky scab makeup on there.
You know, sucked. Maybe if Jim Ross weren't humiliated every fucking time he does anything,
yeah,
people would have cared about this. But it's almost like a parody now of a wrestling angle. He gets humiliated all the time.
If he was treated like a god for a year and then one week he was made to look like an ass, it would be news. But as it is, he's just a geek. Geek got treated like a geek.
Yeah.
Speaking of geeks, Santino came out. Sheamus was wrestling him. Apparently, they said he still wanted revenge over the Tea Party incident. What?
Long time ago.
So they had a match. Sheamus beat him up. He missed a move, and Santino tried to pull off the Cobra, but he was too weak and collapsed while hitting his own arm. So Sheamus pinned him. The show sucks. And then in the main event of the show, Randy Orton versus CM Punk. They had a very dull match. Just boring. It was supposed to be a WrestleMania rematch. Punk at one point hit his springboard clothesline, which was the finish to Mania, because he dove right into the RKO. No reference by either the wrestlers or the announcers to this. It was just a move. It was not horrible, and by the end, when they did some a bunch of counters in a row, it was actually pretty cool. And finally, Orton won with the roll-up. So out came...
Which somehow leads to last man standing.
I don't know. I don't understand. So Mason Ryan and David Otunga and Michael McGillicuddy hit the ring. They all beat him up. Ryan wanted to punt Orton like Orton had punted all of them. But Punk said, no, I'm going to do it. And this pissed Ryan off. And they went back and forth for a long time. And finally, it gave Orton time to recover. So that when Punk ran at... Jesus Christ. When Punk ran at him, Orton leapt up, hit him with the RKO, and bailed. And that was the worst episode of Raw in months.
Which somehow leads to a last man standing match.
There was not one thing on the show that maybe wanted to get the pay-per-view. Hmm. A terrible show.
Yeah, well, I didn't think it was quite that bad, but certainly was not good. That I will say.
All right.
Let's play a song here, then we'll do SmackDown, and yeah.
You watched Tough Enough?
I didn't see the whole thing. As soon as Stacey Keibler showed up...
You just paused it and stared at her?
No, I wanted to, but then my DVR... Okay, so here's what happened. Stacey Keibler walks... It was like in slow motion with a fan blowing on her hair. And then suddenly there was like that weird digital glitch that you get when, for whatever happens, it happens often if like there's a storm. And then suddenly I was watching the credits.
Mm.
And I went, huh? And so I rewound... And apparently just a large chunk just into the ether vanished. So
I watched the show for nothing.
I watched half of it. But
I watched it.
Watch it every week just in case. It
sucked.
Let's play this song. Hunter was about to spit his water when Undertaker's dong interrupted his entrance. And when the lights came back on and they were face to face, Undertaker's dong interrupted his entrance. Undertaker's dong interrupted his entrance. Undertaker's dong interrupted his entrance. They told each other that if either of them got to the point they could no longer perform at the standard Undertaker's dong, the other guy was going to look him in the eye and tell him it was time.
You know how many wrestlers have told me that?
They took out the they're all dead part. probably for the best. All right, SmackDown. We just did Raw.
SmackDown was better than Raw. This was the Edge retirement show. It opened with a phenomenal tribute video that traced his career and really his entire life, literally back to his childhood. They said he would surrender the title tonight, and then they closed with a sound clip of Edge from a promo he cut on Alberto saying, "Destiny can change in the blink of an eye."
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Alberto came out in his new greatest car ever. They said it was a 1950 Rolls Royce. It was amazing. He was very sincere. Said that tonight was not about him. It was about somebody else. When Edge announced his retirement, Alberto said the locker room and the universe lost a hero. He listed all of Edge's accomplishments, all his title wins, all the men he'd beaten. And now he's giving up everything in this incredible business. He said WWE was Edge's life, his passion, his love. And it was his destiny to be world champion, but he didn't want it to be like this. But since Edge was surrendering the title, and since he was the number one contender, it was only fair that this incredible man, this great athlete, come out here and present Alberto with his world title. So Teddy Long came out, said nobody was going to present Alberto with anything, said Alberto had won the right to compete for the world title in a ladder match at Extreme Rules that was still going to happen. His opponent would be the winner of a battle royal on the show. So Alberto was angry. He started speaking Spanish, said, "I never liked you, Teddy, never." Teddy didn't care and told him to shut up and left. That was a good segment. Kofi Kingston versus Ezekiel Jackson. Remember when Kofi was like a star of the mid card, at
a
least
SmackDown star.
He was on above average SmackDown character. He comes out here to wrestle Zeke. Zeke is toying with him. The other three members are of core are on commentary bickering with each other. So Zeke presses Kofi over his head, throws him on the core. By this point, he's no longer wrestling Kofi. He's just using him as a weapon, as an implement. Then he throws him back to the ring, hits basically a rock bottom, and pins him. What a complete fucking geek Kofi Kingston is at this point.
Mm.
It was fast. So the other members of core all stood around looking surly. Zeke cut a promo talking about how he was the personification of domination. That was a big line. Lay Cool went to couples therapy.
This did suck.
It involved Michelle McCool acting, which is never a good idea.
I wonder if they like think that this wooden acting is entertaining or it's good. I mean, I can't figure out why they keep putting them in skits. I mean, Layla, I don't know. Layla's acting is also horrendous, but at least she's got life to her.
Yes.
Michelle is carved from a block of wood. And someone behind her is acting poorly. This is a bad combination.
It was a bad, bad, bad skit. It ended with Layla saying she wanted to be equals. Michelle said, "Then you need to grow 3 feet, get blonde hair, and get better in the ring." And then she walked out.
That was her only good line.
Well, you can't credit him with the lines anyway. They don't write the lines. They just do the delivery.
Yeah, but she at least delivered that one.
I see.
In a believable manner.
I see.
Unlike every other fucking thing on this entire deal.
It was not good. I had high hopes for this, and it was dashed. Speaking of dashing, Cody Rhodes came out. He cut a promo in the ring. Said after beating Ray at Mania, he expected to feel vindicated. Instead, he felt nothing. It wasn't enough. He said he would be in the Battle Royal, but even if he won tonight and went on the world title, would that be enough to erase his disfigurement from his memory? And he said Ray was a father who tucked his children into bed every night and told them there was no monster in the closet, so he was going to turn Ray into a monster so his own children would be afraid of his face, and that would be his vindication. Ray came out and they brawled. Ray sent Cody packing, and that was that.
Mm-hmm.
Had Rey Mysterio versus Drew McIntyre. Had a long time, probably 15 minutes or so. Had a very, very basic match, and it was very good. Ray hit the 619, and he hit the 619 and splash for the win. But the funny thing was, he hit the 619, and Drew sold it by grabbing his face and jumping to his feet, and then suddenly realized, oh, wait, Ray's going to splash me now, and just took a giant back bump into position.
I think. All I know is Drew was on his feet when Ray went up top, and then Ray dove, and he was on his back.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was a giant bump we didn't see, or if it was a giant edit.
There could have been a phenomenal edit here. That's
I
possible,
suspect
too.
It was an edit.
Yeah. Regardless, Ray won. In edited form, it looked fun. It looked fine. This was a winning segment. They aired another amazing Edge video that recapped everything he'd done. The Royal Rumble win, the Money in the Bank win, all the title matches, the ladder matches, the flaming table spear, live sex, Vicky Guerrero, wacky stuff with Christian, shaving Kurt Angle, I believe Lance Storm even had a cameo here. And it was good stuff. Then Edge was backstage. Everyone was giving an ovation. He was all smiles. He hugged Stryker. He hugged Chavo. Kane showed up and everyone stopped clapping. They had a stare down. Then Kane offered his hand and Edge shook it and everyone clapped again. It was hokey, but I will not complain about a company paying too much attention to continuity. So then Edge came out for the big speech. He said his eyes have been open to appreciate everything. Said no matter how dangerous his matches were or how jet-lagged or tired he was, when he came out for his entrance and he heard what he called the coolest music in WWE, and the fans always cheered for him, and that always gave him enough energy to get him through. He said he wanted to do it one more time, so he rested the belt in a turnbuckle, and he trotted back up the ramp, and he just did his entrance again. And my first thought here was, it's too bad he's retiring, because this would be a great shtick for a heel. Just do his entrance over and over and over again. But came out, did his entrance, but he gave this his all. It was a very hyper entrance. He even pulled off the slide into the ring. Booker was talking about how wrestlers never get this out of their system, and he had goosebumps watching it. And Edge talked about how all the things he was happy about, such as that he had this news about his condition now rather than in a few weeks when he took a bump off a ladder and couldn't get up. He was happy that he was going to take his girl and his dogs and go hiking in the mountains of Carolina or surfing in Nicaragua. He said he was happy to have an excuse to wear one of his two suits, which he said he got it for $100 at JCPenney. He said he was happy to come back to Albany, where he won his first championship and where he thought of the name Edge. He was happy his mom could be there. Everyone gave her a huge ovation and chanted, "Thank you, Mom." So I am fine with him doing SmackDown every week from Albany till the end of time. He thanked her for supporting him through all the injuries he'd suffered. He couldn't have done it without her. He thanked the fans and said the world title wasn't just his. It wasn't anyone's in the locker room. All of the fans held a piece of this title, he said. But it's time to relinquish it. So he said, thanks. It's been a hell of a career, a hell of a ride. He put the belt down. He hugged his mom and he walked to the back.
At which point he proceeded to do this 8 more times on the European tour.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine.
Sent him to Europe and he did his entrance again and retired again over and over again.
I was not aware of that.
I have no problem with that. It's probably pretty cool, but
it's probably fun. Is easy money for him. I'm sure the fans loved it.
But I would guess by the fifth time he had to do the speech, he's goddamn sick of it.
That is probably true, too. So they had a commercial for the next WWE movie.
I know
movie.
I'm sick of it when I talk about how Impact sucks every week without fail, over and over again.
Yeah. They had a commercial for the next movie. It has Randy Orton in a very small part. He was in this commercial for less than 3 seconds with one line. It looked better than the chaperone.
Rose was any good delivering his one line?
Better than Michelle and her skit.
Oh.
Yeah.
High praise.
Indeed. Rosa was telling Edge how much he was going to miss him. Then Alberto arrived. They had a stare down that was significantly more tense than the stare down Edge had with Kane. And finally, Alberto just holds out his hand. And Edge just stares at it. So Alberto winked at him. And Edge walked away and Alberto grinned. And that was that. Alberto was a bigger and better asshole here in 20 seconds than Kane Anderson has been in months and months and months on Impact. This was great.
Again, high praise, Vince.
Yes.
Wow. He's a better asshole than Mr. Anderson.
I thought it was great.
Well, it was, but right. That's not high praise.
Kelly wrestled Layla in a segment that infuriated me. Started with Michelle on commentary, which, as we discussed, is always bad news. So they're having this match, and they go out by the coal mine, and Kelly hits Layla with an X-Factor on the floor. She grabbed her by the face, grabbed her by the head, and jammed her face onto the arena floor. Mm-hmm. This should have been a major injury angle. Michelle sold it by saying, with about this much emotion, why does Kelly scream so much?
Michelle's no good.
Oh my God. So
If you got 125 pounders doing an MMA fight, you're much less likely to see a knockout than if you've got, say, heavyweights, because they're smaller, you know? Harder to hit that knockout blow. They don't have the power that a heavyweight has. This is a 110-pound girl doing an X Factor on the floor. I'm pretty sure Layla will be fine.
I'm going to put your face on the floor and drop 110 pounds on it. See how that goes.
Vinny, I'd like to see you try a shoot X Factor on me. I would just jump up.
I'm sure you would.
I would leap up.
You're right, Brian. It's a fake move.
So what are we even arguing about?
Well, if you're going to do... everything they do is fake.
I realize that.
So...
But this is Kelly doing it, not you. Yes, in the fake world of wrestling, if you gave Layla an X Factor, first off, you'd go through
the
arena...
I'm not implying I should do, by the way.
You'd go through the arena floor.
How dare you?
Second, she'd be killed. Kelly... I'm surprised that when Kelly leaped in the air, she actually made it to the ground.
She had enough gravity
yes.
to pull.
I just surprised
wind,
she
wind
leap.
Resistance would hold her in the air.
I thought she might leap and keep going.
Yeah. So, anyway, Michelle then rolled Layla into the ring. She was pinned. Kayla left. Layla then, after taking an X Factor on the floor, just stood up. So Michelle shoved her back down.
Yeah, well, who cares? I mean, on Raw, Randy Orton gave Punk an RKO in the middle of the ring when Punk tried to punt. And Punk was on his feet 5 seconds later, pitching a tantrum.
That's not good either, but the whole idea of brawling on the floor is that it's more dangerous out there. And, by the way, Punk's a dude. Punk is a 3-time world champion.
Yes.
He's a tough bastard.
I'm afraid, Vinny, that I've got to argue that Randy Orton's RKO is a more valuable finishing hold than Kelly's X Factor.
Point conceded.
Yes.
Cole apologized to Jack Swagger for his actions on Raw.
Triple X Factor.
I just call it what Rhett Titus calls it, the sex factor.
Sure.
Cole apologized to Jack Swagger for slapping him on Raw, said he had lost control of his emotions, and vowed to somehow make things right with Swagger. They aired another Hunter Undertaker highlight video. The best part of this was a show calling it Zeus and Hades battling out on Mount Olympus. That was a much better line than whatever Michelle said. So we had a battle royal to see who faced Alberto at Extreme Rules. It had a half hour. It was a battle royal. It was not very good. Big Show ran wild early, tossed out geeks like JTG and Trent Beretta. Then he charged Zeke and knocked him out of the ring, but he charged him so hard he knocked himself out of the ring too. This made Alberto very happy that Big Show was out. Big Show was just frustrated, so clearly, to me at least, Alberto's going to win, and then his first challenger is going to be the Big Show. That's where I see this going.
Actually, I think Alberto's going to Raw.
Or they could do that. I could be wrong. So, it came down to Jack Swagger, Rey Mysterio, Christian, and Justin Gabriel. It's one of the final four men fighting for a world championship match on pay-per-view.
I wonder if they'll have Alberto go to Raw and send Miz to SmackDown.
I don't care. I'll be honest. You said that and I had zero reaction. Maybe if I think about it, I'll decide it's a good idea. I don't know. I don't know. It...
Continue the review!
Anyway, Ray dumped Justin Gabriel. Then he had Swagger set up for the 619. But before he could hit it, Michael Cole leapt out of the coal mine and jumped up onto the apron to absorb the blow. This rendered him dead. He fell to the floor, never to move again. And Swagger and Ray had a brief struggle, and Swagger finally dumped him. So it was down to Swagger and Christian. They wrestled for a few minutes. And then finally, Christian was on the apron. And Alberto ran over, grabbed his foot, and tried to pull him off. But Christian avoided that, and then Swagger charged, and Christian low-bridged him, swaggering over the top rope. So Christian won the Battle Royal to get the title shot. Booker called him the most underrated superstar in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I lulled. So Edge came down to congratulate his buddy. They had a very sincere hug. Edge was completely composed. Christian looked like he was going to break down any second. And he pulled it together. And Christian and Alberto stared each other down, and the show ended.
There you go.
That was SmackDown.
It was a pretty good show.
It was.
All right, let's play one more song. Then we've got some shout-outs, as they are called.
Amazing.
And we got a lot of them. So let's get the song going, and then I got something to say as well.
Oh, we got a package open, too.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's play the song first.
Edge and Randy Orton and John Morrison and Truth and Rey Mysterio and John Cena versus CM Punk and Wade Barrett and Drew McIntyre and Kane and Sheamus and Dolph Ziggler.
I woke up in the middle of the night thinking about this match.
It was completely hot.
Is that correct, Vinny?
That is correct.
Mount me.
Okay.
Blow me.
Which one do you want to do first?
God, I can't take this.
You pussy.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
All right. Well, there you go.
All right. first off, I want to say I was doing the big countdown to 5,000 friends on Facebook. The other day, I was at 4,999. So I posted, "Who will be my 5,000th friend?" And I waited. And I waited. And I waited. And keep in mind, having 5,000 friends, that means several friend requests every day. The friend request dropped to zero. I thought, that's weird. Then I went up there, and it was down to $49.96. I lost some friends. So I was like, okay, well, looks like I gotta get four more friends now. So still not getting any friend requests. And then I went up to my Facebook, and I saw that somebody had posted. Let me find it here. Where is it? When did Facebook raise the limit to above 5,000 friends? Brian is at 5,002. That's odd. So I think what happened is we'll never know who friend 5,000 was. Because I think as soon as you hit 5,000, Facebook doesn't allow anybody to friend you anymore. Even if you lose friends. So I could drop down to like 10 friends. But because I hit 5,000, it considers me having hit my limit and will not let me add any more. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So for those of you that wanted to be friend 5,000, I don't know what to tell you.
You missed your shot.
That I have reached this goal, I realize I can't add any more friends.
Shit.
So I don't know what I'm going to do. I may have to get rid of this and open the dreaded fan page. Or I guess I could just start all over at zero. But, yeah. I guess I made it.
Yay.
What does that mean?
Don't know.
I don't either. All right, let's do open the present, and then we'll... Should we do the shout-outs first or open the present?
I'll do the present. This is from our good friend Chris Foley, who sent us a package here, asked us to open it on the show, so we put it on the counter, whereupon the cats sensed food and attacked it.
I'd forgotten about that.
And so there are teeth marks in it. Actually, this may take me a while to open anyway. Do a shout-out.
Well, now I got to load it up. Goddammit.
Shit.
All right.
This is... Do you have a knife or scissors in here?
Mm-mm. Nope.
No, you don't.
Thought I did. We got to do shout-outs dating back to the 6th of April. That can't be right.
It's been a long time since we've done shout-outs.
We really have that many shout-outs? Seriously? All right, let's get started. Let's see. Andrew here. I want to give three shout-outs to Vinny for making it okay to be fat, untalented, yet totally awesome. He is my role model.
You're welcome, sir.
Next to CM Punk, who I met 5 months ago in a hotel and talked to for 7 seconds, it went something like this. Hello, Mr. Punk. Just wanted to say I love your work at ROH, and your happy birthday segment with Ray was the best thing I've seen in years. Thank you, sir. He said, go fuck yourself, Chunk. So to CM Punk, I say, I would rather be slightly overweight than look like a dirty, homeless tramp with cock rot. Albeit an incredibly rich tramp. Lastly, to Brian, I only wish B&V was around during the end of WCW. The thought of you reviewing Nitro makes me weep with joy. You are a beautiful man. Actually, if we were only reviewing Thunder, has nothing on Impact.
Remember the promo the Bruise Brothers cut when they talked about how their head could fall off their shoulders?
That would be sad.
That would be sad.
That's from Andrew. Andrew, thank you very much for that shout-out. Very much appreciate it. This is from Jim. By the way, you get a shout-out whenever you sign up. If you're a freeloader right now listening, if you sign up for all of the shows, 15 to 20 radio shows a week, every show we've ever done in the archive, all available, $10.99 a month. No extra fee for the archive. You sign up, you get it all. So basically, if you sign up today for $10.99, it's essentially like you signed up in 2005 because all the stuff we've done since 2005 is available for you, the freeloader that signs up today. So really, it sucks to be everybody who's been subscribing since 2005, to be honest with you. Except that they've got...
Especially if they've been listening to us.
Six fun years of good times and great memories. So anyway, sign up and you get a free shout-out. Just send it to me, Brian at WrestlingObserver.com. Jim and Katie just signed up to the website, been an Observer subscriber since 1990. I'll miss going to the mailbox every Saturday, hoping the newsletter was there and being pissed when it wasn't. That's from Jim.
Why would I miss that?
Well, just for that, Jim, next week I'll put the Observer up a week late. So we can all enjoy that feeling together. I'm joking. Thank you very much, Jim. Longtime subscriber. He's been subscribing since I was 15 years old, for God's sake.
So 3 years.
All righty. This next shout out is from Steven. Been a subscriber to the F4W Online now for 6 months. Thought it was time to claim my mandatory shout out on the Brian and Vinny Show. Your shows make the tedious, repetitive, and monotonous drives to and from work a whole lot easier. Originally, I sent up to the site for the Observer issues, but found that not only had I signed up to view a damn great newsletter, I also got a bonus newsletter in the Figure Four Weekly, and also regular shows from yourself and Vinny V. Since I signed up, I've been going through the archives, currently on the B&V shows that covered the Iron Sheik shoot in 2006. I cannot believe I missed this the first time around. Myself and my colleague at work, who also loves to wrestle and take great delight on threatening anyone who pisses us off to humble them Sheiky old school style. See? There are people that have never even heard that before. We need to bring it back. Don't have any shout-outs. I've not really treaded on the board yet. Seems to be an awful lot of trolling and hyperbole around these days. I'll say...
Okay, if we ever do a board shirt, that would be on there. Trolling and hyperbole!
I guess I can shout out to Blackpool's finest export, William Regal, who should be appointed Raw Commissioner right away. Also to Winter Katie Lee Burchill, who I find the sexiest women's wrestler working today. Pretty sure I'm alone in this view. Actually, you're not. And if so, please feel free to chastise me for this. Hell, even Vinny can chastise me on it, despite his equally questionable taste in women. What does that mean?
Don't know. I like Winter.
Keep up the good work. Try not to be too hard on Vinny V after he just buried you.
Apparently, that's acceptable, but you can't be a real dick.
That is...
Also, ironically, this show creates long, boring, monotonous, repetitive driving for me.
Steve from London. All righty, Nathan. I joined up this week for the first time. Would hereby like to redeem a shout-out.
Redeem.
It goes as follows. My name is Nathan Knight, and this is my shout-out. It is considerably less than 150 words.
Thanks, Nathan.
That's it!
Thank you, Mr. Knight.
A fine shout-out, that was, by Nathan Knight.
Which is a great name.
I was going to say, a great wrestling name. This is
Nathan Knight.
From Trey. I am known as WCW NWO for Life on the website. Been a subscriber for a couple of months now. And this show has become my new morning show whenever I get to listen to it. Keep up the great work. Want to say watching Miz walk out of WrestleMania as champion is bullshit. Both of us know Miz is a terrible champion. He has, I believe, 2 clean finishes since winning the belt in November. Morrison and the King at Extreme Elimination Chamber are the only two I can think of, so of course I could be wrong. Actually, he beat the tag team champions on his own on Raw and then promptly lost the belts. Elimination Chamber and Mania are the testaments to this abomination of a title run. Here's hoping the WWE fools finally see their folly. Take the belt off him at Extreme Rules, which I hate to tell you, Trey, is not happening.
It would have to be Nathan with a K. Nathan Knight.
Says he can't wait for ROH to find a new network and for Chikara's big break. It's actually Nathan Kite. K-Y-G-H-T.
Not so anymore, it's not.
I screwed it up.
Nathan Knight. Much better name.
This is from Josh. This is Josh Austin.
It's not bad either.
Really enjoy the site. I've been a subscriber for over a year. Wanted to finally cash in my shout out. I'm a ring announcer host based in Los Angeles. It's a plug for my website blog. It's listed below. Oh, oops. Well, here you go. Whether you are a promoter looking for a great ring announcer, host, or just enjoy pro wrestling, MMA, boxing, and other related areas, check out Josh Austin at theringvoice.com. Josh is based out of Los Angeles, and recent announcing credits include NWA Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Jesse Hernandez's Empire Wrestling Federation, ETT Sumo Wrestling,
wow,
and others. Video news blogs and other content are posted weekly, cover both the big leagues and the indies. Check out Josh Austin at theringvoice.com.
Well done.
Well done. Thank you, Josh Austin. At the Ring Voice. Oh, I may have just given away his email address. Check out theringvoice.com, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Josh. God, we got a lot of shout-outs. A lot of people signing up around WrestleMania season.
That's true.
Sign up today. Get your free shout-out. What in the hell are you waiting for? Not only a free shout-out, but you get all of this stuff. What a bargain. Let's see. Oat Gan here. My shout-out is as follows. Big ups to NWA Mountain State Wrestling for putting on the most hilarious wrestling program available today. Keep doing what you're doing, Strozilla. I hope you get the recognition as the best today that you deserve, Diablo Jr. And mad props to the Bunkhouse Boys. I know your immense girth and general lack of ability is part of your charm.
That sounds like me.
But your health, for your health, and for the sake of the fans, consider buying a gym membership.
Sounds like me.
That is from Oat Gan. I haven't seen NWA Mountain State Wrestling, but it seems to be begging to be watched. All right, Pat! I'll give my shout-outs. First of all, to Naked Midian, because that happened. Second, to TNA, one day you will learn and fire your writing staff and hire a good one.
Well, they won't.
Maybe not, but one can hope.
No, you can't. There's no hope for TNA. Don't be a fool.
Third, to everyone involved with F4W Online, I only became a diehard fan last September. I wish I knew about you guys a long time ago, because in early 07 I got sick of WWE, mostly Cena, and stopped watching until I heard of Bryan Danielson signing. Then I started back right before NXT started. I would read show results to keep up. When I would turn on WWE TV because I missed it, I would see shit like Hornswoggle McMahon or Festus, which I saw as a bad, delirious ripoff. I could have listened to the show to keep up all that time. Final shout-out to RangerBoard.com. RangerBoard.com, where I'm known as Flashman X. That's a great name. Recently posted an advertisement for F4WOnline.com. Pat, thank you very much, Flashman X. Got some good names on this show today. All right. Hollywood Brett Shear Gold.
You gotta be kidding me.
Not making these names up.
On roll.
Brian and Vinny wanted to say hi, been a freeloader. Now I cannot live without you guys. Freeloaders, take note! Been an entertainments fan since I got to meet Andre the Giant and or the Gaint at a show in Sydney, Australia as
a
7-year-old
boy. Did
you
say it?
I said it.
Okay.
Back in 73. It was the days of Bulldog Brower, Brute Bernard, and Skull Murphy. The man had a skull 6 times that of an ordinary man. Meeting Andre certainly made an indelible mark on me as a youngster. He was in a good mood, too. Just the thought of having such an icon telling me to get lost would have destroyed me and would have ruined entertainments for me forever. Work as a stand-up comic, get to travel all over the world. Now I get to bring the whole F4W crew with me on my travels. Vinny, your comedy timing is impeccable.
True.
Your delivery is Dada-esque, and I'm sure that you have no idea what that is or means.
Oh, you're wrong. It's funny.
Thanks for the many, many great hours you give me while I log my endless frequent flyer miles covering this big blue marble. Having grown up there, I'm in Australia a lot. And Brian, if you ever come over for your belated honeymoon, I'd love to show you and yours the sights. Actually, I would, except I think we're going to Hawaii now. We are planning to go to Australia later on, though. I want to give a shout-out to American Girls, Chick-fil-A, and New York City for accepting me as one of their own. Extra big shout-out to all the people who let a regular guy like me make meaningless jokes and pay me so well for doing it. Take care. I will try and make it to an F4W get-together sometime soon. Hollywood. Brett Sheargold.
Thanks, Hollywood.
A fine name and a fine shout-out. And thus, a fine man. Hollywood Brett Sheargold. This is a shout-out I'm just reading. Fellas, known funster, soon-to-be returning boarder, Chibi Diablo. I'm here in my last 4 weeks of my tour of Afghanistan, so I thought it'd be time for an update. So far over here, I have woken up to my sleeping bag being covered in ice, been attacked by flying ants, slept in a swamp, had a rocket-propelled grenade fired at my head, it missed, he said, had a turnip thrown at my head by a local peasant, which hit, been propositioned for sex by a local male, I turned him down, he added, had a landmine go off 20 feet away from me, built a toilet cubicle out of opium. What?
Wow.
That's some waste of a good opium right there. Some good opium.
Or just a great toilet.
Been dumped by my girlfriend over the phone without reason.
That sucks.
That's bullshit.
So get that opium.
Been bedded down for 48 hours with diarrhea.
That's bullshit.
Had to dig out an improvised explosive with my fingers. That sucks.
Huh.
whole lot of host of other things that I won't bore you with. All in all, it's been a great tour. I don't know if that is the sort of things I would term great, but...
If he's coming home, it's great.
Sadly,
if you made it home, it's great.
Won't be making Vegas this year for a couple of reasons, mainly a timing snafu. But I will be hosting the first ever Fuck Vegas, Let's Just Have a Party in My Apartment party.
Woo!
Such mighty borders as Rob Gom, Jimmy Lasers, Ichiban, Iamo, version 1, amongst others. I've rambled on a little bit here, so I'll leave you there and just say, see y'all on the board properly soon and in Vegas 2012.
Hey!
That is from Chibi. Sean is his real name, and... as you can tell from listening to that shout-out, a great fucking man.
Oh, yeah. Have you had him on the show?
No.
You had...
Stevie Cheesecake.
Ah, that's right, yes.
Should get an update on
get
him.
Get Chibi Diablo on the show.
Ben here. My name is Ben, and I'm a strapping...
ask him about the opium toilet.
Quiet down, you.
Sorry.
My name is Ben, and I'm a strapping young gentleman. I have one thing to say, and that is this. Remember, the wise grasshopper always seeks greener pastures. That is from Ben Rollo, who signed up yesterday.
Huh.
I don't know what that means, but I'll take it as a compliment.
Yeah. Surely it means he loves the show.
We have more. Cash in my shout-out. It's been almost a full year since I've been subscribing. I have to say, every time I look at my bank account, the only debit that doesn't make me miss my money is my subscription here. Thanks for all the great content. Shout-outs to my brother, Troy, my wife, Tieran, who puts up with me watching and listening to wrestling, the great state of Oregon, Oregon Ducks football, Chip Kelly, Norm MacDonald. He says, seriously, everyone should be watching his new show on Comedy Central. King Felix, Prince Karras, Dusty Rhodes with his yelling plunder and other gibberish. Don West, Lance Storm, Steve Austin, especially on Tough Enough. Italian Zombies. Speaking of zombies, ZCW Zombie deserves a shout out. Chipotle, Mexican Grill, especially the steak tacos. Vinny for putting up with Brian's shit. Vinny, you need to do a sports podcast. Well, Kevin, you're new.
Oh, God.
Vinny tried that once.
Sucked.
And Tony and I put a lot of fucking work into it. And it just stopped.
It failed.
Quite frankly, it
failed.
Just stopped.
It failed.
Granny, who is awesome and reports every Thursday. Randy Orton's fake wife number 2. Actually, fake knife wife number 1 was much hotter.
Yes.
And finally, thanks to Brian and Dave for all the content they put on the site. I'd like to plug my movie blog. Covers everything from serious movies to really bad horror. Hugo Stiglitz Makes Movies. Check it out. That's from Kevin.
I see.
Hugo Stiglitz Makes Movies. Somehow I think just reading that, I said something lewd.
That's entirely possible.
Believe it or not, 2 more. Garrick from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Busy using my free shout-out. A big I love you to my 5-year-old son. He loves watching AAA Lucha with me on the weekends, even though neither of us speak Spanish, and I have no idea what in the hell is going on. He thinks La Pipi and Gato Everready are about the funniest goddamn things on earth, and his laughter keeps me happy in tough times. Another big I love you to my wife for putting up with our wrestling and MMA bullshit. Lastly, I have a request. Could Vinny read the following rap lyrics?
Oh, God.
I'm going to email this to you, Vinny.
All right.
It's up to Vinny.
I will pre-read them first. I will decide if they're... we already did this joke, first of all. So the joke's been done once before.
All right. Paul from Cork. Brian and Vinny, I've been a subscriber for about 1 year now. Absolute fantastic value for my hard-earned money each month. So to any freeloaders out there listening, stop freeloading, you fools. Subscribing will make your life better. I love Brian's rants on everything that pisses him off, Vinny's sharp wit, and Dave's freaky knowledge of everything pro wrestling. My shout-out goes to my beautiful wife-to-be, Laura. We're getting married in Italy on June 3rd, 2011. Good decision here. She never watched wrestling before meeting me 4 years ago and has made a brilliant effort. Vinny?
I'm sorry, what?
You're just cackling over there.
I'm just reading the lyrics, and actually just the song title.
She never watched wrestling before meeting me 4 years ago and has made a brilliant effort in learning everything about it. She even told me TNA was crap before I realized it myself. Well, you got a winner there, homie.
She's one of a billion people.
She's a huge Jericho fan and is only marrying me because he is already taken. That's it, boys. Keep up the good work. I love the shows. That's from Paul in Cork, Ireland. All right, Vinny, are you going to do this?
I will do the first part. I will not do what I believe is the chorus. But this is the... This is a ballad, I suppose, entitled Dog Shit by the Wu-Tang featuring Old Dirty Bastard. She flew in like calm breeze. Tall, brown skin, her weave like palm trees. I went cocoa nuts. Dipped my Dunkin' between your donut. Don't want it if it ain't no slut, bitch. And then it gets gross.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you got half your shout-out worth, buddy. It was free.
There you go.
What's the present?
Present, I'll just read the letter here. BNV. These here are chocolate-covered walnuts as well as some almonds.
No.
Get fat the healthy way. Enjoy, Sally and Chris. Also enclosed is some Canadian money for your next trip up, and they included coupons to something called Canadian Tire worth, there's two here, one is worth, not making this up, 10 cents. The other,
wow.
The other, 5 cents.
Wow!
Yes. 15 cents Canadian.
Jesus.
Which is probably more than 50 cents US these days. So yes, Brian, here is your bag of chocolate-covered nuts.
Oh, Jesus, Jimmy.
You got it.
Holy Christ, look at that. Brian, it says. That's awesome.
And mine says Vinny.
Chris!
Well done.
You're the man.
You are
Chris
man.
Foley, everybody.
Tofino.
Another great Foley. Mm-hmm. Guys, we're done. Hour and 21 minutes. I should eat some of this. Was I actually requesting on this show chocolate-covered walnuts? Did I mention that on this show?
Probably.
Because I really wanted some chocolate-covered walnuts. I don't know if I mentioned on the show or if Tofino just read my
read
mind.
Your mind. I believe you mentioned on the show.
Really?
I think you were talking about... Who were we talking about it with? Well, it was Granny, probably.
Either way, everybody, if you've ever had chocolate-covered almonds or chocolate-covered walnuts, especially if you go to Trader Joe's, they have dark chocolate-covered almonds to die for. What a drop that's going to be. So anyway, Chris, thank you very much. Thank you, of course, everybody, for listening. I'm spent. Got to get Burley tomorrow to fly to Vegas for Cauliflower Alley. Dave and I will do a live report from after the banquet and then flying home early, early Thursday morning. At which point, I'm going from the airport to kickboxing, because I just can't be stopped.
Wait a minute. Are we doing a show Thursday night?
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
Nothing's changed.
When I heard you were flying to Vegas, I assumed it would be like for the weekend?
No, I'm going for 24 fucking hours.
What's the happening at Cauliflower Alley that's so important?
The banquet. The annual banquet.
They do it every year.
Yeah, once a year, so I'm going.
All right.
Well, Jesus Christ.
You haven't gone in 6 years.
I haven't gone in a while, but now I'm going again. So I haven't gone in 6 years, so I'm never allowed to go again?
What made you spontaneously want to go this year?
We decided to go.
All right.
You know, it's going to be a fun time, everybody. If you're in the area, go. Probably too late, but anyway. That's it from here, everybody. We'll talk to you again right on schedule this coming Thursday.
Bye!